Speaking of sports, it is time now for Stroman on Sports, joined here in the studio by Dr. Debbie Stroman for our weekly discussion about all things sports related, both on and off the field. How are you?
Doing well. Glad to have the crisp, cool fall weather. This is what it's about. Everybody can pull out their favorite heavy sweater.
Absolutely. So a lot to talk about this week, and we'll get to local sports in a bit. But I want to start with a national story. This is in the NFL and kind of a controversy swirling earlier this week. NFL broadcaster Tim Ryan, is that right, in San Francisco, suspended for some bizarre racial comments made about Lamar Jackson, who's the quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens, right?
Well, no doubt the continuing, ongoing, never-ending issue around race. And it shows up in every institution, and sport is not immune. And so Tim Ryan is getting lots of heat from lots of people across the country of all racial, ethnic backgrounds, because he stated that Lamar Jackson had an advantage because the color of the football matches the color of his dark skin. And so it is hard to see the ball. It's very, very, it's tricky, it's magical, it's mysterious. And even though technically, because there are some NFL players on the 49ers who are saying he's right, Tim Ryan apologized. He got suspended. But the point is the use of language. Mm-hmm. And you can't go with intentions. It's not about intentions. I believe most people have a beautiful heart. They don't get up each and every day saying that they want to discriminate or hurt people, whether it's based on gender, sexual orientation, whether it's based on race. But it's about impact. It's not about intention, it's about impact. And this hurts. This hurts many, many people in the black community.
And it's the idea that, I mean, Lamar Jackson is having a surprisingly really good year. And so often we see this rather than, oh, great, he's having a really good year. What a great job he's doing. You look for a reason for it, like an excuse.
Absolutely. And some people would say, well, technically, yes, it could be difficult to see the ball and his arm when you're watching film. Maybe it's locker room talk, but he has a responsibility, just like you, as a public figure, as a broadcaster. And you've got youth listening in, you've got people of all, you know, backgrounds, everything. And you just can't make statements like that. It goes back to pointing out something that does not acknowledge his intelligence, does not acknowledge his creativity, and, of course, his athleticism. He is doing things that haven't been seen in decades. It's also important to note that the top five quarterbacks right now in the league in terms of performance are black. So when we're starting to see a position that has been denied, has been exclusive to white men, now being having the opportunity for black men to play the position, we just don't need this right now. We just don't need it.
Was the reaction correct? Like the fact that he was suspended, the general like social reaction to it?
Well, sadly, people, well, I don't know if I'm going to say sadly. People are saying he should be fired. He should be fired. But we do live in a country, we do live in a country that lifts up forgiveness and second chances. And so I know he's hurt by this. Because now, you know, for someone who's been so close to the game, and to have people, whether they're players, coaches, or administrators, now having second questions, you know, second thoughts about who you are and your character, I know that hurts him incredibly. He has apologized. I'm not saying that he needs to now go give money to charity and, you know, all these, you know, doing community hours and things like that. But I think, like a lot of people in this country, white and black, Asian, Native American, and Latinx, that people need a racial analysis. It's not enough to read a book. It's not enough to say, I've got, you know, a black friend. We need to understand the history of this country. We need to understand how people have been differently situated. And we need to understand all of that before we can really have good healing.
The other big NFL news this week, a little bit closer to home, Carolina Panthers firing Ron Rivera after how many seasons? Nine seasons?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Eight and a half seasons,
eight,
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So thoughts about that? That was, well, I was surprised with four games left in the season.
Yeah, and it'd be named NFL Coach of the Year twice. He took the Panthers to the Super Bowl, which we could never forget. We thought that was our year. But this also brings up race, because Ron Rivera is noted as the Latino NFL head coach. And again, race doesn't matter in terms of what you're doing out there, but when you've never had one before, and who knows how long it will be before we have another, I think Ron Rivera is a very good coach. I think injuries really, really hurt him in terms of his schemes and what he could do. And I know he's going to land softly. Mm-hmm. In fact, the defensive coordinator under him is now doing a great job with the Buffalo Bills. So I think Ron Rivera will be okay, but there are a lot of folks who really, really think that this was a call that was made too fast.
What do you do with a coach? And I know Rivera's had several years of really, really high success with the Panthers, including that Super Bowl trip, a number of other years that have been more disappointing, especially after that Super Bowl trip. Oh, we're going to have a dynasty, and then you missed the playoffs a couple years in a row. What do you do with a coach like that or a player like that? And I guess the player equivalent is Eli Manning, right, or the Giants, who have these two amazing years and then they're fine every other year. Like, what? How do you gauge, or how do you judge the legacy of someone like that?
Well, in college, what organizations will do is that they will ask the head coach, because they don't want to get rid of you.
Mm-hmm.
They ask you to change up your coaching staff, as in you must get rid of your offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, or your associate head coach. In professional football, the track record, the tradition is if the head coach goes, everybody goes. And so maybe the owner could put that type of pressure. I know Jerry Jones with the Cowboys has done things like that, where he said, you know, you need to make this particular change.
There might be some good reasons to explain it, too. Yeah.
The other thing is, you know, NFL teams, if you've got a stud quarterback, you're going to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And with Cam's up and down, I don't think anybody wants his salary. But maybe, you know, you start saying that we're going to make a move here. I think, no doubt, Cam is still one of the best quarterbacks in the country. But if you aren't out on the field, you know, it doesn't matter. So, you know, either looking at changes on the field or within the coaching staff are options. And, of course, the option that Tepper took is you got to go.
Yep. Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, Stroman on Sports. Going down a level to the NCAA, now we've got, staying with football, you've got conference championships coming up, obviously Clemson, Virginia, but some other really high-profile games and all that shuffling around for a spot in the Final Four. Who do you think is going to make it?
Well, everyone's talking about that Georgia-LSU game.
Mm-hmm.
So LSU has their high-powered offense. In fact, that's how they turned their program around. They said, we are going to throw the ball. We're going to have a more diverse offense than traditional SEC, which is just run the ball. They're averaging 560 yards per game and 48 points.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going against a Georgia defense that only gives up 257 yards and about 10 points. So that's the big game. Will that affect the college playoff? The other games, you know, the Rose Bowl, you know, Oregon, whether or not Utah will win that game. Ohio State versus Wisconsin, that's a rematch game. So people really don't care too much outside of that area, of course, Big Ten area. Oklahoma-Baylor, what they're saying is that Jalen Hurts, who was the superstar at Alabama, who left because everybody knew his they were going to play Tua. If Jalen Hurts doesn't turn the ball over, Oklahoma will win.
Yeah.
I think for us, it's all about Clemson. Hopefully they won't maul UVA. I think they're a 4-touchdown favorite. But as long as Clemson wins the game, they're in. And Clemson is so confident right now, I really don't see anybody stopping Clemson.
It is such a weird thing, and we're really going to see this, I think, when we get to the end of December, beginning of January, for Alabama not to be in the conversation. Ever since they started the college football playoff, Alabama's been in it every single year. You knew it was going to end at some point.
Yeah. It was interesting watching that Auburn-Alabama game and watching Saban nearly blow a gasket. And I think all those teams, you know, anybody but Alabama, they were so happy to see that side of Saban. But it is different. I think it's good because everyone keeps talking about how we need to expand the playoff and allow more teams in because of this dynasty. So with Alabama out right now, I think it can calm some folks to say, look, there are other teams that can be in this playoff.
Especially if Clemson ends up not winning and it ends up being someone else this year. Although Ohio State has won in the past too. So it kind of ends up being like the same 10 teams in the Final Four every year.
And on that note, it's really interesting because it's almost like the West Coast is just not even a part of this.
Yeah.
Which is similar to women's soccer.
Yeah.
Right?
Although, similar to women's soccer, except this year it's like UNC and three Pac-12 teams, which is it's unusual, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So UNC is holding up the banner for the entire one half of the country. But it's going to be nervous for us because Emily Fox, their star, is now out with the knee injury. And Washington State upset number one, Virginia, and upset number two, South Carolina. And so really, it's going to be an all-in. We've got to do this for Emily. We've got to do this for the ACC. And, of course, to bring another banner to Chapel Hill. But it's going to be tough.
I like to think that any team has a certain number of upsets in them. And once they've gotten those out of the way, then they're good to go. Like, right. You made it to the Final Four. It's all good. Let Carolina win.
Yeah, hopefully the weather, the temperature keeps dropping. So that they won't feel really comfortable, like, oh, North Carolina. No.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can do this.
Yeah. Should be a good weekend. And again, the UNC women's soccer game tonight, 7 o'clock in San Jose. So it's a West Coast game as well with Washington State and Stanford and UCLA all out there. Stanford's the home team, I guess, for this. So I know how much that's going to help them at all.
Yes. So again, thinking about the weather with North Carolina traveling, that far. Again, everybody has to rally. It's about chemistry. It's about keeping the tradition alive.
Yep.
But if anybody can do it, it's Anson Durant.
Absolutely. Speaking with Dr. Debbie Strowman, got to wrap up. But before we do, we got a big basketball game coming up on Sunday, UNC versus UVA. I know you're torn. What are your thoughts?
Who can make a bucket? Virginia.
First to two wins.
Yes, first to two to win. Virginia shooting 37% from the floor. Carolina shooting 40% from the floor. It will be a defensive battle, but the edge has to go to Chapel Hill because of rebounding. And UNC has a history of leading with rebounding. But it is a rival game. You know it's going to be a sellout. I'm thinking about how much this team, Roy Williams, has to work to bring back UNC tradition, as in we rebound the ball. We don't have 25, 30-point scores. Everybody's a threat. We run the ball. So it's going to be interesting to see how he works his magic, and he will by the end of the year, and I'm not trying to put more expectations on this team, but Roy Williams is one of the most outstanding coaches ever. So he'll figure it out. The team will comply, and we'll see how fans can just calm down. Calm down. You know, it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Final score?
I would say it's going to be in the 50s.
Okay.
50s. I would not be surprised because Virginia's going to milk every bit of that that shot clock. And, you know, the idea is just to hold Cole Anthony.
Yeah.
Not an easy job, but I can't see the game being more than, you know, maybe a 58 to 52 type game.
Yeah. Do you think Carolina wins or Virginia?
I'm not going there.
Okay. Dr. Debbie Strowman hosts Cover 2 during the football season. If you only knew the rest of the year right here on WCHL, get the full archive online at chapelboro.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you.